and maybe I can pursue Christ now. Right? Oh, hallelujah. Some of us have that ministry in our hearts. We haven't done it. Some of us have great testimonies to share with people how God has brought us out and brought us over. And the young people today need to hear this. We don't talk enough to young people in just conversational terms. Teaching doesn't all take place in the classroom. Sometimes it's just befriending the person and talking to them and saying, yeah, I went through that and this is what I found and this is what the Lord helped me do. Not preaching at them, just sharing with them. But you should understand this. God is not mocked. Do not be deceived. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. There is a recompense. What you sow, you reap. We say, well, how do I know what I'm sowing? Well, if you sow in the Spirit, it's according to the Word of God. Sow in the flesh is according to your pleasures. But then he says this, and he's hammered this home to me, and I'll read this in several weeks. He says in verse 9, let us not become weary in well-doing or in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. It's in the NIV. In the Amplified, verse 9 says, and let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint and acting nobly. In other words, don't quit doing what is right according to the Word of God just because no one agrees with you, just because everyone makes fun of you, just because no one wants to talk with you. Does that tell you go out and be obnoxious? Not at all. But when people ask, you tell them what the Word of God says, not what you think, not what you feel, but the Word of God. And if you're ashamed of the Word of God, this is where you become silly. Right? When people are talking to you and you know the Holy Spirit is telling you what the Word of God says and you won't respond to the Holy Spirit, you're being silly. And you'll believe the lie. Some people say, well, how do I know what the Holy Spirit's saying? Because he only speaks what's in the mind of Christ. And he only speaks the word. So if you haven't read it or heard it in the word, he doesn't make stuff up. Right? It's not the Holy Spirit telling you, oh, it's okay this time. No, it's not. It's wrong. It's wrong every time. Because it's sin against God. God has a right way, and he wants you to do it that way. Well, I'm not sure what his way is. Well, if you're not sure, you should read it. Study, seek it. There is a right way, and God has presented it. Oh, hallelujah. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about there's a right way to live, right? It's the right way to have relationships with people, to work. There's a right way to serve God. It's all there in the book. It's the owner's manual, amen? You understand what an owner's manual is. Some of us don't like to read the owner's manual. We want to discover it all on our own. That's fine. But you don't have a lifetime to do that. You should read the book and learn how to do it quickly. And by the way, thank God for his owner's manual, because sometimes we've been messing around doing it on our own. And when we read the owner's manual, the proper instructions, we find out, oh, this could be much easier. Hallelujah. It says, let's continue to act nobly and do right, for in due time, at the appointed season, we shall reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. Sometimes we lose courage to do right because nobody else is doing it. I look around. Well, we just read that we shouldn't judge ourselves by other people, right? We should measure ourselves by the Word of God and the Word of God only. Amen? I want to make this plain. If, heaven forbid, I committed adultery tomorrow, there would be no reason for you to go out and commit adultery, because adultery is wrong. Amen. I have sinned against God. There's no reason for you to think, well, the pastor did it.
How about that?
You know what the Word of God says. You have it in your heart. If I stumble and fall, the Word says I should be restored, but you don't emulate me and say, that's well, the pastor did it. Amen. I think this is the New Living Version. It says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Amen. Some of us have been directed by the Holy Spirit to do something. We did it, and we're waiting, and we're waiting, and we're waiting because God said he's going to bless us because we did what God said. We knew it was God. He did it, and we don't see the results we're looking for, and so we're thinking, maybe I should quit. Do not be weary in well-doing. Don't give up. God said he's got it. He's got it. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith. Listen, we should do good to everyone. The best thing we can do is share with them the word, right? Now, I just want to ask you this question. Think about it. Think about it. You have something that no one else has, the knowledge of God. And someone asks, how do you make it in your life? You have the opportunity to tell them, it's not me, but it's God in me who does it, and I'd like to introduce you to Jesus Christ. Some people are ashamed to say that. I don't know why. Bible says people would be ashamed, so the Bible's always right, right? I can talk about all kinds of other stuff, but I can't really just tell you about Jesus. I'm waiting for the old folks to get that. Or the little kids. Or I can't tell them now because I've messed up. None of that matters. God, Jesus has nothing to do with your mess ups. He didn't mess up because he's saving us. Why won't we tell people about him? Why won't we tell them? Yeah, I didn't do what I was supposed to do, but God is still with me. I serve a God who's gracious and kind and merciful, and even though I haven't done the right thing, he still loves me. He still wants to preserve me. He still wants to build me up. He wants to restore me, and he's instructed his people to pray for me and restore me gently. Oh, hallelujah. I began to repent to the Lord. I said, Lord, I had no right to be angry, even though I felt anger. I said, Lord, please forgive me, because, Lord, from your perspective, if it wasn't for your grace and mercy, we'd all be through. You have a right to be angry, God. You sent your own son to die on a cross for us. And we yet hated you. You died for us. We didn't even know you. You have the right to be angry, but you show grace and mercy. Lord, I want to be like you. I repented. I said, Lord, forgive me for my anger. Forgive me for my ego. Forgive me, Lord, for thinking it was about me. It's not about me at all, Lord. It's about you, and it's about the people you want me to serve, because you saved my life so that I might do good to all people, but especially to the people of faith. People of God. And I thought about it and I said, Lord, you know, please forgive me. Because the thoughts run through my mind and I think, Lord, you know, we're harsher on the people in the body of Christ than the people who are not in the body. Somebody steals outside the body of Christ, we say that's a bad thing. We'll pray for you. Hopefully the spirit of stealing will leave you. Somebody steals in the church, we think, how could you do that? Get out. Bible says we're supposed to restore them gently. And I have to pray and ask God, help me, Lord. Because, I mean, sometimes that righteous indignation you think is righteous is really unrighteous. Is how could they do that? It's only by the grace of God, because it's not me. Turn to Hebrews, about to close. Final thing God told me, In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, NIV. He says, I am not giving you this message so people go around saying, oh, the pastor said it's okay to sin, we'll be forgiven. No. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying when people are caught in sin, that we should pray for them and restore them, because sin is never good. And it's all against God. But we should understand as Christians that we've got to let our egos, I'll speak for myself, our egos and our pride and all that stuff go, because that's not what God told us to do. He said, restore them gently. Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. We get tripped up by sin, we got to get up, dust ourselves off, and run the race. Amen? We stumble and fall. The race is not over. As long as there's life, there's hope. Amen. So I'm not, the word is not saying, oh, you know, you're going to sin, don't worry about it. That's not it. Saying sin happens. You recognize that sin is against God. You get up, you ask for forgiveness, you dust yourself off, and now you seek to run the race as God intended. And in my life experience in 55 years, my desire would be to tell you, once you fall down and you get back up and God forgives you and restores you, you're never going to fall again. I can't tell you that. I can tell you that as you press into the Lord, you'll fall less frequently. Amen. I can tell you that you'll seek Him earlier each time, because you'll learn to go and trust Him. Amen. But until Jesus calls us home and we're changed in the twinkling of an eye, you may fall. But the remedy is Jesus. And hopefully over time what you learn is, I don't run away from God, I run to God. Because I need Him to forgive me. Because all sin is against Him. He says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Oh, that's the challenge. I was really convicted by that, because, see, I had drifted off to looking at the condition of the world that I read about. Here are the statistics. Young men incarcerated. Children born out of wedlock. Fatherless children everywhere. Orphans, the Bible says. People not doing well in education. People not only dishonoring and disobeying mom and dad, but threatening and beating mom and dad. Loss of all natural affection. And the Lord said, but keep your eye on me. See, if I keep my eye on all those things, I become weary. Oh, hallelujah. I become downhearted. I feel, Lord, what's the use? What's the use? What's the use? But if I keep my eye on Jesus and His word, He said, I got it. I know all the things you're thinking. I've written them down for you if you read them. You've not come up with anything new. Your emotions, you think you're the only one that feels that way. I've even written it down in the book so you can read it. You need to keep your eye on me. Hallelujah. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of the faith, who for the joy set before Him enduring the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So far, I don't think anybody in here standing up for the gospel, you haven't been crucified yet, right? I don't think any of us have been beat with many stripes, right? We've been blessed. We live in a country here. Now, there's some Christians who are going through this now. But we live in a place where we're free enough to say what we want to about Jesus Christ without fear of physical abuse. But somehow we won't say it, because, you know, people might think we're strange. Well, we are strange. They should think that. We should be transparent. Our help comes from the Lord, right? It doesn't come from the government. It doesn't come from my job. It doesn't come from my friends. It doesn't come from my family. It comes from the Lord. And so while they're worried about all this stuff, we should be a peculiar people because we're not worried because God's got it. Hallelujah. Don't lose heart. You won't grow weary if you keep your eye on Jesus. He says in verse 4, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, have you? And you start thinking about it that way, I guess it's not that bad. I might not know where my next meal's coming from, but so far nobody's out trying to arrest me. Poke me in the side with a spear. Right? Amen? Oh, hallelujah. And you have forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. And we have. We forget who we are. We are the sons and daughters of the living God. We ought to tell ourselves that sometime. We forget that through the blood of Jesus Christ, we've been made new creatures in God, right? Through Jesus Christ. It says here, this is what you said. It says, do not make light, my son, of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. We forget because we want to give credit to everybody but God, right? Look what the devil's doing to me. The devil ain't nowhere near you. You and God is getting your attention. Because some of us have real hard heads and real stiff necks. Amen? He said, you forget who you are. You are a son or daughter of the Most High God. And because you are a son or daughter of the Most High God, the enemy has no power over you. But if you won't listen to me, I have to deal with you myself. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. So people say, yeah, I'm the son of the Most High God, and they don't read the whole scripture, right? See, as a son, you're accountable. Amen? So it says in 7, endure hardship as a discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. In the King James, I think they call you a bastard, right? Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirit and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. We want to do good, right? We'll be disciplined. And all discipline means is you're going to be taught. Amen? If you never used a computer before, the first time you use a computer is awkward, but if you learn and did the disciplines, you'll learn how to use it, right? If you never changed a tire before, not that it's that hard, but if you never did it before, somebody's going to have to discipline you how to do it. That means teach you, or you'll never do it right. Amen. If you're going to live holy, you got to be disciplined by God the Father, so that you can learn to live holy. Discipline doesn't feel good. Hallelujah. He says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. No discipline. You learned how to read, it was hard at first. You learned how to write, it was hard at first. Learn how to do math, maybe hard now, but it's... But there's a discipline. If you would be willing to learn, you can learn it and do it, and it's no longer hard. If you want to live holy, there's a discipline. You just can't say, I'm living holy, when you're not disciplined by the Father. Well, We want to be disciplined so we can share in his holiness. It's not pleasant, but it's painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. We sang today the peace of God. Peace of God. God loves us enough to discipline us. Amen. And then I love this last part. It says, therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees and make level the paths of your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. In other words, if you're not quite right with God, clear the pathway so that you're not stumbling and falling all the time. We talk about stumbling and falling, right? He said you've got weak knees and feeble arms. So since you're not strong, clear the pathway. Don't be living around things that easily tempt you and cause you to fall. Clear the pathway so that you can be healed and you can be strong and your arms can be strong so you can be fruitful for the Lord. And then he closes with this. He says, 14, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance right as the oldest son. Afterwards, as you know. And what he's saying is, why would you give up the richness you've been given as a son of the Most High God for temporary pleasure? And if you're weak right now, clear the path. Clear the path. Afterwards, as you know, he wanted to inherit this blessing and was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. Well, I finally got the message the Lord was trying to give me. He said, look, yeah, there things are bad around the world. By the way, they've been bad. It's the nature of man. Sin causes all these problems. You, as the Son of the Most High God, need to keep your eye on me. You, as a child of God, need to go out, and those who have sinned, you need to go out and gently restore them. And you, when you commit sin and you're weak in some area, you need to pray and clear the path and get away from those things that cause you to fall. Until you are healed and strengthened so that you may go on in the name of the Lord. Well, I'm going to close by reading Revelations. Be not weary in well-doing. And I pray this blesses you. I don't know all the situations and trials you may be going through, but God's got it. He's with you. He's able to save. Be not weary in doing well. Be not weary in doing good, the good he saved you for. Be not weary in telling people about Jesus. And keep your eyes on him. Revelations 22, verse 12. Behold, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me. And I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside our gates are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Remember, there are people out here, I know you don't want to believe it, but there are people out here who don't just not know about God. They hate God. They know God is real, but they don't like what he does. I, Jesus, have sent my angels to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. We need to keep our eye on the bright and morning star and be not weary in well-doing. Yes. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word today, and we Thank you for your Holy Spirit. We pray that the word finds good ground in the hearts of your people, Lord. We pray that it would bear much fruit in our lives. And Lord, we would leave this place seeking to serve you, seeking to do as you command, seeking to first be right with you, Lord, by studying your word and comparing ourselves to it and making sure that we're not doing anything that's displeasing to you. And then, Lord, we find a brother or sister in sin, Lord, that we would gently restore them according to your word. And Lord, we just ask for this blessing, Lord, for there's much work to be done in these last and evil days. And Lord, we don't want to be hampered by sin. We want to be running the race and running the race victoriously to become like Jesus, the one you love, Lord. We ask you for your grace and mercy. We ask you, Lord, to help us to bridge relationships. Lord, we reject the lie that there's any age barriers or anything like that because you're not a respecter of persons, Lord. We reject that lie. We know that we come together as brothers and sisters and sons and daughters of the Most High God, no matter what our chronological age is, Lord. You, by your Holy Spirit, break down every barrier, Lord, that we may invest in the lives of each other and might receive the great reward you have in store for us because you brought us here by your providence, Lord, not by accident. And each one has much to give to the building of your kingdom. We thank you for this, Lord, in Jesus' name. And so it is. Amen. Amen. Amen.